Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is The Lighthouse Lowdown. You're choking down your coffee.
It's not coffee. So, yeah, I'm not drinking caffeine right now, or I'm minimizing caffeine and sugars and stuff. So this is, I asked for a decaf black coffee, hot. And they're like, we can't do that. But we could do a decaf Americano.
I was like, that doesn't make sense.
I was like, okay. So you have decaf espresso, but not...
I've never once heard of decaf espresso.
This is a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I just added some honey to it because I couldn't drink the combination before.
And even now, you're cringing.
It's like coffee tea. Ugh. So I had some tea
yesterday. It's watered down coffee. Right. It's just... If it's iced, I usually like Americanos, but if it's hot, I feel like it would be really obvious.
Right.
That it's watery. I'm sorry, I didn't say the number of the episode.
I just realized we forgot that.
Vince and I are trying to get a good system for...
data storage.
Yeah. And it included saying the number of the episode at the beginning, and we didn't do that, so that's fine. I just was distracted by the fact that this is episode number 72.
I'm like holding up my arm.
Like, are you going to or
see,
not?
See, this is why we need cameras. We need people to be able to see me hold up my arms.
We really don't.
And see.
We really don't, because every other part is going to be my facial expressions. We don't need that.
That would be great.
Then I would have to dress nice.
No. People don't want you to dress nice. They want you to be yourself.
That's irrelevant.
This is the third best Lighthouse podcast in the world, at least. We're in the top three for sure.
Yeah.
Probably second best in the United States.
For sure. And they don't have video, so it's not like we're behind on the times.
But if we had video...
Maybe we'd be number one.
Yeah. We'd be all over TikTok.
The competition.
Yeah. Capture the kids. We get a whole new generation. And that Jeremy was saying, Jeremy D'Artremont, when we talked with him, he interviewed us.
Yes.
Yeah. He was saying, how do we get the next generation involved?
Just the thought of... Also prioritizing a bunch of social media, like I'd have to quit some of my other hobbies.
Some of your other jobs that are unpaid.
And we can't because we're planning a wedding and I have a list of about 20 things to do with my hands.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things to do. These are just DIY things to do.
Yeah. And that's why this episode is being recorded 2 days before it's released. And that's also why we went for a shorter episode, and I don't have a history buoy.
Rock chalk. Let's go.
Trying to condense it down so that when I edit it today, it's... What?
I'm just like blank staring.
You're blank staring at my face.
Listen, let's do a personal history buoy because we don't have a Lighthouse history buoy.
Okay, but the whole point of the no history buoy is that it's a shorter episode.
Oh. Well, then I'll stop talking.
Well, but what was it going to be anyway? Because now I'm curious.
The thing we talked about with restaurants and memories, and like we have three restaurants we could go to for our anniversary in the future.
Oh, yeah. That's not worth mentioning.
All right. We'll go ahead and cut that out.
Sorry.
And cut here, Emily. We're 4.5 minutes in.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to go into our episode so that it's... So it's good. We're going to be talking about Biloxi Lighthouse. And this is a direct result of when we were driving in the car the other day and I was saying, we've never covered a lighthouse in Mississippi. And
Mississippi.
I was like, is there even any lighthouses in Mississippi because the coastline is so tiny? And turns out there are.
Down in the SIP.
Yeah. So
can you pronounce it again?
Biloxi.
Biloxi.
B-I-L-O-X-I.
Okay.
Biloxi. And I did listen to some videos to figure out the pronunciation. And that did not happen for anything else in this episode. So I'm just going to be like, there's two words in particular. Oh, three words right now that I'm looking at that I won't know how to pronounce.
That's par for the course. We're fine.
It's kind of part of the spirit of our podcast.
That's why we're the third best Lighthouse podcast in the world.
because
there are
Jeremy
three.
Jeremy says everything confidently. And I just wallow.
Jeremy is a historian and a professional. We are amateur lighthouse enthusiasts.
Yeah. So we don't have to know it all. We're not getting paid for anything.
But we got Biloxi.
We're going to Mississippi. Biloxi Lighthouse was one of three Mississippi Sound lighthouses authorized in 1847.
Back in the day.
So I pulled up a picture of the coastline just to accentuate how tiny it is. The dotted lines are all that we have of Mississippi touching water. So $12,000 was set aside in March of that year, with 1 acre bought from John Fayard for $600 to build the South's first cast iron lighthouse and keeper's dwelling, which were completed a year later in 1848.
Nice.
The lighthouse is 65 feet tall, made of bolted plates of cast iron painted white and reinforced with a brick lining, which we've talked about with other lighthouses.
Yeah, fairly standard for a lot of American lighthouses.
Yeah, but at this time in the South, it was the first one to have that sort of build. So it's kind of fun. It's skinny. Oh, by the way, this picture that I just pulled up was taken in 1892. I'm like, why is it so clear? This looks like a 1900s photo.
It's a really good 1970s photo. I mean, it was big news, though, right? It was the first lighthouse like this in the area, so it's probably a professional.
Just surprised by that. Because it's so clear, I thought for sure it would be like 1930s or something. But 65 feet tall, pretty good nowadays. So, I keep wanting to like talk about the interesting things that I know I'm going to talk about and just say it right now. I'm like, no, there's a structure.
Made of cast iron.
Although the first keeper was a man, Marcellus.
Hey, point of interest. You said a brick lining?
Yeah, so the inside's
brick. Yeah, I figured the outside would be brick, but no, the inside's brick.
Yes.
Interesting. So
the outside keeps more water out than brick.
Yeah.
Historically.
Yeah, welded and interesting. Okay, thank you.
The first keeper, I tried to pronounce his name, Marcellus J. Howard, I'm going to say. So he was a man, but this lighthouse is known for having the most, it's kept by women for the longest amount of years in the U.S.
Nice.
First female keeper and second keeper of the lighthouse was Maria Reynolds, and she started working in 1854 and worked through 1866. So solid over a decade, 12 years.
Yeah.
And she was a keeper. She was the keeper when the reflectors were replaced with fixed white fourth order lens in 1856. So that's pretty early to get a Fresnel lens, I think, considering how far south we are and how like it took this long to get a lighthouse down here. That, I don't know, I feel like it would have been a lot later that they would have supplied a Fresnel lens over here.
Yeah, it's interesting. And fourth order too is I forget the ranges, but it's like smaller range.
Yeah, mid-level.
So this is, are we looking at this photo that's on screen? It looks like we're standing in the low tide, like we're standing in the water,
yeah,
potentially. So there's a bay right here. Anyways, the point is fourth order is right on the coast.
Yeah.
So fixed white.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And that's the Gulf, right?
Yeah. Okay. Gulf. Yeah. It's Gulf of Mexico.
Small pause. Due to the deaths of her relatives, she was the guardian to several orphan children. So even during the Civil War, she and the kids lived in the lighthouse. So like, oh, in a lot of instances during a war, keepers were not in the lighthouse. You know, they shuttered the lighthouse until the end of the war. But in this case, they let her stay there and continued to pay her because she had so many orphan children living in the lighthouse.
So who?
Like crazy.
I guess I've never considered this before. So during the Civil War, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember the time frame. I thought it was before this. The reason I asked.
Wait, let me. 1861 it started, and I think it ended in 1866. Let me try and find it. 1865.
So, okay. You say they paid her. Who paid her? U.S. LHS?
Well, when
LHE.
The U.S. splits in two, I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to say, is it's probably a northern governmental body. So I don't think they were paying any southern.
It had to, well, when the South separated, they formed their own government.
Yeah. So, like, from the Union.
I'm sure that they had every avenue of what they used to have.
It's so interesting. Yeah.
So crazy that that happened in our history.
I've never thought about it before, but being a government-sponsored activity and then the government splits, that's
yeah, she's probably like, oh, no. I have lots of kids in here. Where would you go? At this time and age, like, a single woman with a bunch of orphan children, where would you even go?
I have no idea.
Like a nunnery?
No idea.
I watched a video. This is unrelated, but I watched a video about nuns the other day about like how they actually live like really nice lives. Like people are convinced to go to the nunnery because it's a simple life of like structure and joy. I don't know. I was like, I'm watching this video. I was like, I don't know why. You know, we watched The Nun 2, and I'm like, terrifying.
Oh, the horror movies. Yeah.
Yes. And then there's like all these stories of, you know, abuse and stuff. And I'm like, that doesn't sound nice. But like modern nunneries seem to be people elect to do this with their lives.
Well, I think most nuns throughout history have had good lives.
Yeah.
I think the story, like for one, the horror movie is, you know,
oh, yeah,
it's
of
a
course.
Play, but the stories that stand out are atypical, I think. Mm-hmm. What is it? Monasteries or monks, nunneries or nuns, and nuns are a part of the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Pretty sure.
So, for example, I saw a video on nuns last week. I saw one too.
Oh, you did?
Except mine was a basketball game.
Oh my gosh.
And the nuns were in full dress playing basketball and shooting three-pointers and making them.
Yeah. Oh, it would be so sweaty.
I'm pretty sure it was a real video. You know,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure
I'm tricked they've got time to have to time, but
activities. Shooting three pointers. Okay, sorry, I got so distracted. The nuns don't even have anything to do with the story. It's all speculation. Okay. In the 1850s, the light stood less than 30 feet from the sand, so a 104-foot concrete seawall was built to protect the tower from the waves. And I'm pretty sure that's what's in this photo surrounding the lighthouse. That's the seawall.
Nice.
In 1860, part of the seawall collapsed from a storm. And this area gets lots of hurricanes, like, over history.
Mm-hmm.
And it washed away sand around the lighthouse. And so it formed a void under one part of the light. And it developed a 2-foot lean. And they said that if the lighthouse was not surrounded by the cast iron, there was no way it would have survived, because just brick, you think about it, 2 feet difference in lean, it would be over. But because it had cast iron, it held together until they were able to fix it. But instead of filling the void underneath, they took earth from the other side of the lighthouse and it slowly settled back to normal.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I wonder if it settled lower in elevation than it was before.
I bet so. If they just took it all, well... anything with sand is constantly changing, so I guess I don't really know.
I'm really tempted to talk about the cast iron. I think I'll save that for a future...
history buoy?
Yeah, I have some cast iron news at work. Anyways.
Oh! Okay, well, I'm interested, but just, yeah, for next time. A fifth order Fresnel lens was installed after the war and is still there today, so you can go and see it.
Nice.
And I have a picture. I don't think it's very good quality, but yeah, it's bad quality. But still, you can see what it looks like. It's pretty neat.
It appears that it's got some pitting going on.
I mean, how can you really tell?
It could just be the image quality.
Yeah, maybe it's just really sparkly.
So you said fifth order.
Yeah. So went even smaller.
I don't know that we've talked about a fifth order lens other than when we first talked about Fresnel lenses and the sizes available.
Yeah, maybe. They're definitely not common, because most lighthouse, like if we talk about lighthouses on the Great Lakes or whatever, fourth order is pretty much what they always get. So fifth order is rare. So cute.
Small. Still looks heavy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So it was downgraded from fourth to fifth order. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And they did that while the tower and the dwelling were being restored. So the dwelling was painted white while the tower was given a coat of black coal tar to protect from rust. Mm. However, the timing of this was poor, because many thought the tower was painted black in mourning after Abraham Lincoln's death. And so like, it caused some unrest and
because it was in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Antebellum.
And on top of that, sailors found it very hard to see a black lighthouse against all the dark, like, trees that they had going on. And so it took another 2 years, but they painted it white again. 1868.
Well, it's hard to get tar off of any structure. That's one of the benefits of it's protecting it from being rusted.
Yeah.
But.
So they just painted over the top of the layer, you think? I don't know that
you can paint over tar.
Paint over tar?
I don't think you can. I think they'd have to strip it.
Oh, man.
With chemicals or scrape. I mean, sounds terrible.
They're like, fine. No wonder it took 2 years. Oh, here's another keeper's name that I'm going to have to pronounce. Perry Youngins. Youngins.
Of course.
I'll say. He was keeper following the war, but passed away within the year, like the first year of his service. So his wife, Maria, took over as keeper until 1918. That?
From the 60s to the 20s, almost?
67 to 1918.
Okay.
So over 50 years?
40. 50. Wow. 60, like, 70, 80, 90, 10s.
18.
Yeah, 50 years. Oh my gosh.
So crazy. We don't see a lot of people serving for that long, and especially not like women usually were placeholders.
Well, yeah.
Especially starting in the 1800s, it was like, oh, you know, my husband died. Until you find the next one, I'm going to be keeper.
Yeah.
But this is crazy. Five decades.
It's hard to understand, but things moved slower 10 years ago. I can't imagine in the 1800s how fast or rather slow things moved.
Mm-hmm.
So like a job listing goes out.
Oh.
There's no LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll post it locally printed on some building. I don't know. I don't know what the technology of the time was. Maybe that's
the newspaper. The newspaper used to have job listings in it.
But I don't know how you're going to find a new person who wants to be a lighthouse keeper that often.
Yeah.
So, yeah, husband dies. Maybe the wife often takes over, or a family member takes over. And then I don't know if they're actively seeking new.
Yeah, or if they're like, just kind of like, okay, good. Like,
there's no school of lighthouse keeping at this time, really.
It is interesting.
Ever that I know of. So there's nowhere they're coming from, being generated from.
Right.
So they're just like people who.
It's not like a specific thing you learn how to do.
Yeah.
And that's another history boo I want to do, is what qualifies you to be a lighthouse keeper. Like, if you apply, what makes you more likely? Is it like having mechanical, like having an engineering background, or, you know, like, what is the word? A mechanic, but yeah.
Handy
guy.
Handyman. Handy woman. Yeah. Well, and then that's probably part of the USLHE and their establishment of like, we wear uniforms.
Yes.
We do that. Like, it's military was the way that they organized.
Yeah. Like, uniform. We can't look like a bunch of civilian people. Like, we got to make it look real.
Interesting.
So, anyway, almost 50 years of service. The New Orleans Daily Picayune.
What was that? Was that Emily? The what?
Why don't they just call it New Orleans Daily Newspaper? But it says
there probably was a different one called that.
New Orleans Daily Picayune. No.
Picayune.
I don't know. What does that mean?
If anyone knows how to pronounce that, please let us know.
This is what I get for copying and pasting this one thing. I was like, I don't feel like typing that out. Well, now I forget to look up pronunciation. Anyway, October 21st, 1893, they noted Maria's action during a hurricane that struck earlier that month. Quote, at Biloxi, Mrs. Youngins, the plucky woman who was in charge of the light, kept a light going all through the storm, notwithstanding the fact that there were several feet of water in the room where she lived. Unquote.
Oh my gosh.
And there was actually lots of mentions of Maria being a like hardy, people saying a man would be appalled at the stuff that she like marched out and just dealt with, like especially during hurricanes. They always had mention of how she was just like a powerful lady.
Well, she had seen some shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's two options and she chose to go through it. So.
Yeah.
I don't know those stories, but I can just tell from this character.
Plucky woman.
So she actually lived in the tower.
There was a keeper's dwelling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like the dwelling was in the tower for a moment.
Oh, no. Yeah, typical. It was separate. The hurricane that they mentioned heavily damaged the breakwater protecting the lighthouse, but it was repaired the following year using timber and concrete. So nothing, I mean, the lighthouse has lived through, this is still original. So it's lived through every single hurricane that's come its way.
To today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Still there. 1877, the board noticed the dwelling was in disrepair, so much so that they decided to demo it and build a new one. So Maria got a new house for $4,000 in 1880. During the end of Maria's stint at the lighthouse, her daughter Miranda served as assistant keeper, unofficially. It's not listed as like an official keeper, but she took over as head keeper in 1919 until 1929. So another decade of youngins in the system. The light was electrified in 1926 and given a new flash pattern of an occulting white light that was dark for 2 seconds and lit for 3 seconds. And it was automated in 1940. I think the flash pattern is still the same today. So
how long is it? Youngins is the name?
Yeah.
How long were they operating that lighthouse? That seems like a long time.
I think
the 50s until 1867
to 1929.
Okay. I thought that was earlier in the 60s, but still.
Yeah.
Dang.
Pretty cool. The lighthouse was declared surplus property in 1968, and the city of Biloxi has had ownership ever since. So they got the deed to the lighthouse at that time, and they take really good care of it. They've done restorations and, you know.
Well, they're ahead of their time.
It's in great shape today, so.
That's smart of them. I mean, as we've talked about, there was a real dry spell, it appears, in lighthouse caretaking and interest in the 80s and 90s. You know, windows and Fresnel lenses were being shot at on several different places. People would just use them as target practice.
I know.
People broke in, burned them down, stole things. So it's good for Biloxi to take care of their tower through that time.
Yeah, and I'm seeing, I follow Hillsborough Inlet Lighthouse, Hillsborough, I think. And they're doing a restoration right now, and it's just like, just going to be so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I'm happy that there's people that care enough about it to be like, we have to do this. So like, even though it's so painfully expensive, in order for it to survive, we have to, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, we work in construction and design, and there's some customers where these project timelines are long, like 5 years between. Mm. So for example, a project was designed. So the customer said, hey, we need this thing. It's an industrial, big commercial customer.
Yeah.
We need this process. So our company designs it on paper and we give them a price to build it. And they say, okay. And then 5 years went by because the money's coming together, because we're finding people to actually do the construction. We're managing it, getting permits, the whole process. And then over those 5 years, the equipment that goes inside this building has escalated in cost so much that the customer says, what the heck? We can't afford to build this. It's not what we were quoted. Mm-hmm. It's like, well.
It's like that was a long time ago.
It was a long time. It was 5 years ago. So you took too long to do paperwork.
Yeah.
And so the point of this is our construction is just crazy, crazy expensive. I wouldn't be surprised if specialty construction like lighthouses will set new records for sure this decade. Especially any restorations that happen.
Yeah. And like materials and stuff are probably not, especially if you're trying to do like a restoration based on
historical.
Yes, like historical materials and stuff.
Brass railings.
Yeah, it's got to just be crazy.
Cast iron casings, not so common.
Glad there's still people out there that are doing that kind of stuff, even though the price tag is insane. A hurricane destroyed the keeper's dwelling in 1969, but the lighthouse survived, and its construction was tough enough to withstand all hurricanes since then. So we don't have a keeper's dwelling anymore. Sad.
The lighthouse.
Wiped out. In 1998, with the destruction of Round Island Lighthouse in Mississippi, Biloxi became the last of over 10 lighthouses to be built on the Mississippi coastline to still be standing.
Wow.
It's the only one. There's some other little ones, but I don't think that they're not like originals.
Yeah. That's crazy. The last of 10 that were constructed.
Mm-hmm. On the coastline. In 2005, Biloxi Lighthouse became the symbol of resilience, still standing, draped with an American flag after Hurricane Katrina ripped through the south. I got a picture of what, like, this first picture is what the lighthouse looked like after the hurricane. So where did it pick up an American flag?
Well, I assume someone took it up there.
No, I mean, with the way that it's draped, it kind of looks like maybe it was hanging beforehand and then it got all tangled up. Or something, but
Katrina was, that was in our, well, in my lifetime when I was paying attention, it was awful.
Yeah. I have a vague memory of that happening, but being in Texas, you know, we were pretty close.
Yeah. But, Biloxi, gosh.
Yeah.
It is not far from New Orleans, which
not at all. It like when I showed the map screenshot, you could see New Orleans off to the side.
Cool photo.
Yeah.
Glad it made it.
Its imagery was printed on stamps and license plates in the state following that as a symbol of powering through.
I want one of those license plates.
Isn't that cool?
It's awesome. The script on Mississippi is really cool too.
I like that it, Biloxi has a weather vane on top.
Yeah, we haven't. I think I've seen one or two of those. I can say we haven't seen that before. Yeah. I have seen it once.
Or maybe we haven't covered a lighthouse that has that. It's pretty cute, and I love the tiny little windows. That's probably how it's survived all this time.
It's right on the water, too.
Yes.
It's right there.
And that was, you know, what I was saying earlier. Is it used to be 30 feet from the shoreline. Mm. And so nowadays it's not. It's like 100-something. And it's actually in the median of a highway. So it's just like the lighthouse with a highway going on either side.
I was going to say there's a road in the Katrina photo. There's a road, what, 10 feet from the base?
Yeah, and then all on the other side is...
The other split.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so crazy how the world just builds around history.
So if you want to go visit this lighthouse, is that something you can do?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I looked at their website, and there's no description of how you're supposed to get there. So it's got to be obvious. There's got to be some kind of bridge. Yeah.
Just run across the highway. That's so funny.
But in 2010, a restoration of the tower was completed following extensive damage to the brick lining following Hurricane Katrina. Katrina! I keep saying Katrina.
That's like the Katrina. One thing that we should know.
I just can't. I guess I can't. I've never really said that out loud. They also did rewiring, restoring the decorative fence, and also repainted, so... I like that they kind of prioritized that after the hurricane because there was so much focus on it being like something that survived.
Yeah.
So they painted two blue lines inside the lighthouse indicating how high the waters were at the lighthouse during Hurricane Katrina, which was 21.5 feet, and Hurricane Camille, which was 17.5 feet. And this was the hurricane that,
Camille.
There's so many hurricanes.
That's where the
this one was
keeper's house was gone.
No, I think so. This was the hurricane while Maria was keeper. So it was a long time ago. 1969. Okay, so no, that was the one that took out the.
I was right.
Yeah, good work.
So how tall is the lighthouse overall?
65 feet.
So the water was a third of the lighthouse in height.
You know how creepy that had to have been, like. Water.
It was inside?
Yeah, well, the door breaks in with that much pressure. Pretty crazy. I can't even imagine being there.
I wonder,
humans were there.
That's what I was going to say, is there's probably no photo of it, of looking down at the water inside of a lighthouse.
Oh, it'd be
like
so
your staircase
creepy.
Submerged.
Well, you just have to hope that it recedes before you need to come down. I'm sure there's like not a lot of places safer to be than in a lighthouse during a hurricane.
I mean, inland would be better.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, before weather was accurately
no warning
predicted, yeah, it just, well, where do you run?
Very little warning.
Go to the lighthouse that's 30 feet away from the water.
Was it Bolivar Point Lighthouse?
Bolivar.
That had...
filled with people.
Yeah. Didn't go well, right?
They all lived, the ones on the inside. Oh, okay. It was just a chaotic experience. And then people when they came out, there was lots of people. It's really... Yeah.
I think of that as more sad than happy, even though the people on the inside survived.
Oh, no, because it was traumatic. Like,
devastating.
They can be thankful for the fact that they're alive and still be like, that was the worst experience of my entire life. Like, they definitely have PTSD from that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
So, and also this, I mean... Seeing your, I'm just trying to picture. We took a photo. Which lighthouse was that? That she pointed out. We could take a picture through the clockwork chain opening.
Oh, Nauset Light.
Was it Nauset?
Mm-hmm.
I took a. It's actually a really good photo, but let's see if I can find it. Down through that slot, looking at the staircase, and just imagine. You know, it was like this bright sunny day.
Yeah.
And the doors open, there's sunlight. Now imagine it's filled with water and it's black.
Just like the howling winds outside, and
it'd be dark too.
Everything's rocking. Oh my gosh, it would be so scary.
It's gonna be in a horror film.
That'd be
in 5
terrifying.
Years.
But yeah, nowadays you can visit the lighthouse for $5 daily from 9 to 10 a.m. So you only get 1 hour to get in there.
I'm sure it's a volunteer effort helping out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
and
great though.
To be open daily, that's pretty good.
Most lighthouses, you really don't need an hour at.
No.
But if there's a museum or if there's grounds.
It's, yeah, especially because there's no, I mean, this is just, you're going to see the tower and then you're going to leave. There's no grounds. There's no keeper's dwelling. There's nothing.
There's a highway.
Yeah. Just the sound of cars. And they do have a live feed on their website from the lighthouse 24/7. So it's just nice. Kind of like showing the coastline and the cars and stuff. You can watch it.
Like a little GoPro cam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And that's that. That's Biloxi Lighthouse.
Good job, city of Biloxi.
Yeah, I know. Restoring when it needs it and
it's pretty rare.
Keeping people interested. I'm sure everyone who drives on the highway that's never been there before is like, it's a lighthouse.
A lighthouse in the middle of the highway.
In the median.
Surprised no one's hit it yet.
Here's a nice picture.
Just knocked on wood.
Oh, shoot. I never thought about that. That's a dangerous place for the lighthouse
to be.
I mean,
it's kind of ironic because, you know, a lighthouse is like, stay away, right?
Yeah. Isn't this interesting?
It is. There's just enough space they left.
They've got some cute, like, landscaping around it. It's a highway median.
It looks like there might be a park or a beachfront on the left.
Oh, yeah. It's all beachy.
Nice.
I would love to go to this area. And from this picture, it's a highway. There's stoplights, so I'm sure you walk across one side of the street and then walk towards the lighthouse on the median.
It's a beautiful photo.
It's gorgeous. And the doors are nice. They didn't look like that after Hurricane Katrina. Katina.
Hurricane Tortilla.
Oh, man. This is one I'd actually really like to see. Do you think we'll ever go?
We would like to see all the lighthouses we've talked about.
I know. But I feel like this one is really unique.
Tell your bridesmaids. This is right outside of New Orleans.
No, they already have a plan.
How far is this from New Orleans?
I don't want to go to New Orleans again.
You want to elaborate on that for our listeners?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Okay, I don't really know. I think it's just a feeling. Like, I've been there once, and now I don't need to go again.
Done with it.
Yeah, it's just not my type of vacation, I think. I went with my family, and there was some crazy weather. There was, like, some wild storm that came through. And so, anyway, we need to figure out what our next trip is going to be.
I know it's going to be Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I know, but okay. You're right. There's no more fun.
What?
Half of the fun is in the planning.
We
like, oh, what are we going to, what block of lighthouse are we going to see part of the world? And you're like, we're doing it here. I'm like, oh, that's right.
We actually do need to plan and decide what we're going to do. But I think the timeline, it will probably be next year.
Yeah, for sure.
We're getting, for those of you who don't know, we're getting married this year. We... The pricing of things
is
insane.
It's unfathomable how much it costs to have a wedding.
I say that already having expected prices to be crazy. They're more crazy.
I thought like, yeah, I won't get into numbers, but I thought for sure that like 20% less, maybe 30% less of what we're looking at is what would have been considered crazy. And yet, the number continues to climb.
So for that reason, I think we're going to
take
a lighthouse trip probably 2026.
Yeah.
If we can.
You're going to go to Sweden this year. And
I'm going to Sweden.
You have to see a lighthouse. As much as it hurts.
We'll see. It's not my trip. I'm along for the ride.
Well, that's true. But you can have some influence. You're like, hey, Mom. You wanted us to talk about a lighthouse, you know, at a convention?
See, we need cameras. Emily's posturing over here, moving back and forth, as if moving back and forth is convincing my mom to go to a lighthouse. Maybe
it's
that's
all
the key.
In the movement.
Like a snake.
Like a snake
like
charmer.
Like a bug or a bird dancing for another bird.
What is when praying mantises go like back and forth?
Yes, thank you. You know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying it clearly. Or birds of paradise, where they're like doing
their little wings.
I wish we had cameras. All right.
No.
What else? What else we got?
That's it. That's all I got. Biloxi Lighthouse, last original standing lighthouse on the coast of Mississippi. Our first covered Mississippi lighthouse on the Lighthouse Lowdown podcast.
Big moment. Episode 72. Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird one. We haven't recorded in a while, but I really liked it.
Okay.
Really interesting.
I had fun.
Yeah, well, I think we're just not used to being recording. Mm-hmm. We're not used to being at the desk.
Yeah, so. We're chatting and stuff. It's like we haven't seen each other in a really long time.
It's just true. It's gone for work, so now I'm back.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. You can check out our Instagram at the Lighthouse Lowdown. Post some fun pictures from each episode. And go to our website, thelighthouselowdown.com, where you can leave us a review, which is really important to us. We love getting reviews. And you can also leave us a message to cover any lighthouse that you live near, that you've seen, that you have a childhood surrounding, or just saw off the road one time when you were driving down the highway in Mississippi. So you could just let us know and we'll cover it. We're excited to cover lighthouses from our listeners, so keep that in mind. And we'll catch you next time on Lighthouse Lowdown.